BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And of course, Friday always brings the news roundup and comment. We will look forward to having you be a part of this program as we move along here rather quickly. In for Jim Schneider today, I am Dalton Windsor, and we thank you for joining us. Many possibly hearing on this very network news at the top of the hour, speaking of what happened in what unfortunately happened in Indianapolis just last night. So our lead story that's where we will begin here. But before I do, I want to give our great thanks to Sandy, who's been compiling news stories all week long, and it is quite a stack, and rarely are we able to get through them all, but with God's help, we'll get to what we can here today to get us all updated on the news, and even some good news we can share as well as Crosstalk progresses today. But yes, here on the... Oh, and let's thank Dennis in Master Control, helping to keep Crosstalk on the air today. On the top of the stack today, yes, Indianapolis police say the FedEx facility shooting left 8 people dead and multiple people injured. This happening near the airport last night. Multiple others suffered gunshot injuries. The alleged shooter died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. That from the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department spokesperson there, saying actually during an early Friday morning conference, that's today, that at least 4 people were hospitalized, including 1 person with critical injuries. 2 others were treated at the scene and released. No law enforcement officers were injured. And so they're still working to see what all, you know, the motive and what all took place there in Indianapolis last night. And as we were listening, like you, at the top of the hour news, SRN News reported that the president... President Biden is now again calling on Congress to pass gun control measures. From CNS News today, more big headlines this week. Left-wing Democrats introducing a bill to expand the United States Supreme Court from how many? From 9 to 13 seats. Senator Ed Markey, Massachusetts. Representative Gerald Nadler, New York, Representative Hank Johnson, Georgia, and Representative Mondaire Jones of New York introducing legislation to expand, we've heard about this, introducing legislation to expand the U.S. Supreme Court from 9 seats to 13, a step that many Republicans and conservatives have denounced as, quote, packing the court. This would, of course, help keep Democrats in power indefinitely. The House Judiciary, headed by Jerry Nadler, said in a press release, this bill would restore balance to the nation's highest court after 4 years of norm-breaking actions by Republicans led to its current composition and greatly damaged the court's standing in the eyes of the American people. And Chairman Nadler also said 9 justices may have made sense in the 19th century, where there were only 9 circuits and many of our most important federal laws, covering everything from civil rights to antitrust, the internet, financial regulation, healthcare, immigration, and white-collar crime, simply did not exist and did not require more by the Supreme Court. But the logic behind having only 9 justices is much weaker today when there are 13 circuits, he added. 13 justices for 13 circuits is a sensible progression, and Nadler says, I am pleased to join my colleagues in introducing the Judiciary Act of 2021. WorldNet Daily saying a left-leaning member of the Supreme Court says 9 justices are enough and there's no need to pack the court. No need for court packing. Justice Stephen Breyer, who was nominated by President Bill Clinton, is against expanding the court, arguing it would erode the public's willingness to respect its decisions. That from the SCOTUS blog website report. In a speech back on Tuesday at the Harvard Law School, Breyer cited two factors that provide cause for concern about the public's acceptance of the court's decisions. First, he noted, there generally has been a growing public suspicion and distrust of all government institutions. Second, there's a perception which he blamed on the labeling of justices as liberal or conservative, that decisions are driven by politics rather than legal principles. Many in America would agree with that. Stephen Breyer says adding seats to the court can only feed that perception, further eroding that trust. So it seems this court packing issue is not going away. They were talking about that before the fall election of 2020. It was a major presidential conversation that, they tried to address, right? But at that time, many believe now President Biden, was not making any comments on it. And, we see the action that is now formally being introduced to make the court packing happen. But apparently, not everyone is on board, even those on the left. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi does not support the effort by her fellow Democratic congressional leaders to expand the Supreme Court to 13 and will not bring such a bill to the floor for a vote, Pelosi said on Thursday. She made the revelation while during her weekly press conference offering a stark, quote, no. End of quote. It was after being asked about the measure being introduced to expand the nation's highest bench. Pelosi said, I support the president's commission to study such a proposal. She continued, going on to say that she and her members were focused on President Biden's infrastructure package and not the federal judiciary. From the Washington Examiner. A group of House Democrats introduced a resolution to amend the Constitution. Yes, let's read that again. We're talking amending the Constitution to abolish the Electoral College and institute a direct national popular vote for president and vice president. This from just back on Tuesday morning. Proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to abolish the Electoral College and to provide for the direct election of the President and Vice President of the United States, reads the text of House Joint Resolution 14. This effort, led by Representative Steve Cohen, a Democrat from Tennessee, claims that the development of mass media and the Internet has made information about presidential candidates easily acceptable to the United States citizens across the country and around the world. And in a statement explaining the move, Cohen called the Electoral College an, quote, archaic institution that has twice awarded the presidency to a candidate who did not win the popular vote in the last 20 years. End of quote. That from Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat from Tennessee. We surely will not hear the last, have not heard the last on that. Something we definitely wanted to get to here in the first segment. We're already coming up on our first break of Crosstalk today. Former Minnesota, we are shifting gears too. Shifting gears here. Former Minnesota police officer charged with shooting Dante Wright has been released from jail on a $100,000 bond while protests did erupt for the fourth day over his death. Kimberly Potter, 48, was released from the Hennepin County Jail at 5:38 p.m., just hours after she was arrested around 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday by Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension agents in St. Paul, that according to official jail records. Earlier Wednesday, the former Brooklyn Center officer was charged with second-degree manslaughter for killing Wright, a 20-year-old black male, in the Minneapolis suburb back on Sunday. Her first court appearance was scheduled for Thursday in downtown Minneapolis. Now, under Minnesota law, a second-degree manslaughter charge is filed when a person is accused of causing another person's death through negligence that created an unreasonable risk and of consciously taking the chance of causing severe injury or death. If convicted, Potter faces up to 10 years in prison and a $20,000 fine. Potter shot and killed Wright Sunday during a traffic stop, just 10 miles from the courthouse where another cop, Derek Chauvin, is currently being tried for the murder of George Floyd. The veteran officer who has worked for the department for 26 years allegedly confused her gun for a taser. She has resigned from the force Tuesday as protests erupted in the city demanding justice for Dante Wright. Potter had been training a rookie cop named in the criminal complaint as Brooklyn Center Police Officer Alan Lucky when she shot Wright. And police previously said that Wright was first pulled over for expired license plate tags when he was driving with his girlfriend. Lucky ran Wright's identification and found he had a warrant for his arrest. There was a warrant for his arrest for a gross misdemeanor weapons charge, the complaint states. And we, of course, have yet to hear the end of that story as well. We have from the Western Journal saying the man killed by Minnesota police Sunday was wanted on charges of first degree aggravated robbery. A warrant dated December 4th, 2019 claims that the incident in question took place December 1, 2019 in Osseo, Minnesota. The warrant said that Wright and MJ Driver came over to a party to an apartment occupied by two women. In the morning, one woman went to the bank, withdrew $820 for rent money, gave it to the second woman. As Wright, Driver, and the woman listed as victim in the court papers were leaving, Wright tried to get the money, according to the warrant. The three of them were walking to the door to exit the apartment, and defendant Wright turned around and blocked the door, preventing the victim from leaving. What the warrant says. Wright pulled a black handgun with silver trim out from either his right waistband or his right coat pocket and pointed it at victim and demanded the rent money. Wright placed his hand around victim's neck and choked her while trying to pull out the cash. That from Western Journal. On the more that we continue to learn on the yet another unfolding tragic story from Minnesota and just those dealing, you know, with our police. And there are several. Well, we started this program mentioning just what was talked about at the beginning of this top of the hour that SRN News was reporting how even again today, President Biden has made his call once again for Congress to pass gun control measures. And there are some statistics out here. We are in mid-April 2021 where there have been at least a dozen of mass shootings in just 2021 alone. Indianapolis, obviously, that has now killed 8. That was from last night. Rock Hill, South Carolina on April 7th. And it is quite a list. But, well, friends, we're up against this break. We're going to come back. We'll finish this. And then also, Israel is, in the news, of course. Had a big day of independence yesterday. So we will shift gears and gain some insight on that celebration and more when Crosstalk continues on the VCY America Radio Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, if sedimentary rock is made up of sediments deposited by Noah's flood, where did the sediments come from?
Chris, it appears that before the flood, calcareous ooze made of tiny marine animals and secretions accumulated on the ocean bottom. Scooped up by the flood, they became today's limestone deposits. It also appears that the sandstone deposits came from created granitic rock, which eroded to yield the sand in our modern-day sandstones. Also, during the flood, intense volcanism occurred as the fountains of the Great Deep broke open, depositing huge quantities of volcanic ash. This became intermingled with other flood sediments to form a variety of rock types. Chris, I think the flood of Noah's Day is a very important concept which we must understand if we ever hope to understand the world around us. Let's develop a Back to Genesis way of thinking.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
You are listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. Thank you for coming along. We do hope to, we intend to get to your calls coming up, and we'll thank Cheryl for her help with the phones here today. Just before the break, we were talking briefly. The New York Times has issued a partial list of the mass shootings, and it just seems that while we know these are tragedies, friends, why the uptick? Why the uptick now? One has to ask that question. When we're looking at shootings just last night in Indianapolis, April 7th, Rock Hill, South Carolina, April 3rd, Allen, Texas, March 31, Orange, California, March 28th, Essex, Maryland, March 22nd, Boulder, Colorado, Atlanta, March 16th, Indianapolis, March 13th, where there were multiple casualties at each one of these. We become so callous to this in the news, right? February 2nd, Muskogee, Oklahoma, January 24th in Indianapolis. So now we've had three in Indianapolis this year alone in 2021. And then January 9th, Evanston, Illinois, where five were killed. And, well, we'll leave that to those who wish to debate or speculate on why an apparent uptick in the mass shootings in our country. Obviously needs to be a matter of prayer, and we'll continue to bring you these news stories as we can. Going to shift gears here as we get into this second segment, and Israel, well, always in the news, but Israel having quite a celebration yesterday. And we understand it was a day of independence. We here in America definitely know what July 4 means to us. And we that love our country and love celebrating our nation's birth. And pretty special time for Israel as well. And I was talking with the host of this program, Jim Schneider, just a couple of days ago. And knowing that he would... I would be stepping in for him. He said it might be a good idea to call in some reinforcements, and I totally agree in that no one knows it any better than Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and so we welcome him back to Crosstalk, always a welcome guest here. And Dr. DeYoung, we understand it was quite a celebration yesterday. Can you tell us what you know about it?
Well, Dalton, great to have you as the host, and Jim, better... see if he has a job when you get back. So indeed, praise the Lord for your opportunity to be a guy that could step in at any moment. As it relates to Israel, yes, it was an unbelievable day. It was the 73rd birthday for the modern-day state of Israel. Now, let me just give you this bit of information. A week ago yesterday, was Holocaust Remembrance Day there in Israel, where the entire nation would stop. In fact, when the sirens sounded across the entire state of Israel, every single Jewish person stopped. If they were driving down the highway, pull over to the side, stop, get out, and stand at attention. If they're on a bus going someplace, the bus would stop. Everybody in the bus would stand at attention. If they were in a department store, everybody would stop, stand at attention, in honor of the 6 million Jews that did die in that horrific event called the Holocaust there in the area of Europe during World War II. Now, 6 million, that was one-third of the entire population at that time of the Jewish world. 18 million alive, 6 million, that left 12 million Jews that are alive. Now, that's grown in those years since the Holocaust to about almost 15 million Jews alive in the entire world, and of that number, 83% of them living there in Jerusalem. But there was a statement that was made, and I've used this often before. World War I was what God used to establish a land, a piece of real estate for the Jewish people. World War II is what God used to establish a people for that land. So it was so appropriate to have Holocaust Remembrance Day 1 week to the day before Independence Day. And of course, Independence Day, they celebrated the 73 years that they have been a nation. I'll never forget. I've been in the Independence Hall there in Tel Aviv, where on that Friday afternoon at 4:30, now I mentioned the time because it was a half hour before the Sabbath would begin on Friday evening. And David Ben-Gurion, with a group of Jewish people, walked in to Independence Hall there in Tel Aviv. They announced to the world that the Jewish nation of Israel was once again a nation among the nations of the world. That was 73 years ago. And, oh, by the way, after that half hour of the ceremony there in Tel Aviv at Independence Hall, everybody went home, and immediately seven Arab nations attacked the Jewish state. There were about 500,000 Jewish people in this newly formed Jewish state. They said they were going to wipe them into the Mediterranean. And, of course, that Independence Day war has continued on. It's never come to a ceasefire or even the possibility of it being concluded. But that's why it makes it so exciting on Independence Day, Dalton, there in Israel. There were fireworks. There was family fun. There were many, many opportunities for friends getting together to celebrate this 73rd birthday. It's really important to the Jewish people because Israel, the land that God promised to give the Jewish people, has become a safe haven for the Jews that are still under persecution. That Holocaust was brought about by anti-Semitism on the rise. And if you look in Bible prophecy, Zechariah 13:8 says, during the seven-year tribulation period, there will be another Holocaust. This time, two out of every three Jews will be killed. That's almost 9 million Jews of those alive today will be killed in that time. So we're not into the tribulation. That makes it even that much better to celebrate the 73rd anniversary of the Jewish state. It's a wonderful day, but it's a tangible evidence to the entire world that indeed God is fulfilling Bible prophecy with the people he has a special plan for, the Jewish people.
Dr. DeYoung from prophecytoday.com, and of course a guest on Crosstalk from time to time. And Dr. DeYoung, someone hearing Israel in the news so often today, and you speak of prophecy here. Prophecy, you tell me, one third of the Bible is prophecy, correct?
That is absolutely correct. That means in one in every three pages, Dalton, you'll have Bible prophecy. And at 30%, every pastor should be teaching Bible prophecy in their churches. I don't mean to be hard or unkind, but if somebody's not teaching one-third of the Bible, I would suggest you try to find a church where they're going to teach the whole counsel of God. But you're right, one in every three pages, 30% of the Bible, Bible prophecy.
And where we're going with this, those that hear so much about Israel and wondering why Israel, why America has until recently, have been so in the corner of Israel and in support of Israel, not so much national Israel, but in the right for Israel to exist, so much of the words of prophecy have to deal with Israel's existence.
Well, they certainly do, Dalton, and that's exciting for a member of any political party, any nation of the world, to pay attention to. I love what Benjamin Netanyahu said the very first time. He's the prime minister of Israel now. And the first time he met with Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, he was in Moscow. He walked into the office of President Putin. Here's the very first words out of his mouth. Mr. Putin, Ezekiel chapter 37 has been fulfilled. What a national leader to have on the tip of his lips the fact that Bible prophecy had been fulfilled. Now, Ezekiel 37, that's the vision of the valley of dry bones, the bones coming together, would be the regathering of the Jewish people. Then it says, in verse 8, the flesh would come on those bones that have been gathered and joined together. That would be the restoration of a Jewish state, which we're talking about. And then verses 9 and 10, it says that the breath of life would be breathed into them. That would re-energize a Jewish state. So you have the regathering, the restoration, the regenerizing, energizing of this Jewish state. But then in verse 11, you see that's an apocalyptic piece of literature, Dalton, which means the Lord will use symbolic information in Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Revelation to explain and help you to understand a truth there in Bible prophecy. Verse 11, it is the interpretive passage that deals with what those bones were talking about. In verse 11, Ezekiel chapter 37, it says, the bones of the whole house of Israel. So indeed, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. And that is what we see. That's tangible evidence. That's, you know, I was reading the other day in my quiet time about Israel being a light unto the nations. I think that's Isaiah 42:6. Well, they indeed are a light to the nations. This celebration of their 73rd birthday is tangible evidence and information to every nation, every leader of the world, that this is God working through and in a people he promised to do something with, and he said, I will bring them back into existence as a state. And that's exactly what we see happening.
Dr. DeYoung, something we picked up on there as you first began talking about World War I, World War II, and what led up to the events of the Holocaust and the one-third of the people then being killed back then, the 6 million alive at that time. Aside from that which you've spoken of in Ezekiel, are you telling us there are more prophecies that do speak of yet a future Holocaust?
Yes, I did. That's Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8. And that's a passage of prophecy that's dealing with that seven-year tribulation period. After the rapture, then that seven-year tribulation period, and then the return of Jesus Christ. By the way, it's key to get that order. The rapture's next. That's the very next event prophetically to happen. No prophecy has to be fulfilled before that. All other prophecies fulfilled after that. Then the 7 years of Zechariah 13, 8. It's talking about in that seven-year period where it says two out of every three Jews would be killed. That would be two-thirds instead of one-third like happened in the first Holocaust. So the next Holocaust is the one, the worst one ever to take place on the earth. And in fact, what happens, the devil and all of his evil angels are thrown out of heaven. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 17, talk about they want to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth because, Dolphin, if they can get rid of the Jewish people, then God cannot keep his promise to the Jewish people.
Yes.
Here's a bright side of that passage. Verse 9 in Zechariah 13 says, and that one-third that is left will come to know Jesus Christ as their Messiah and as their Lord and Savior. That's the positive aspect.
Well, and yes, we're glad there is still a positive aspect to this, but as we do see in the headlines and this continuation of the anti-Semitism that is there, it is all pointing to that time that you speak of, a terrible time that is still to come, a future Holocaust. So what we so clearly see in news headlines and where we are here today, Dr. DeYoung, so confirms what we often hear from you, that it is setting the stage for what?
For Bible prophecy to be fulfilled, and the next thing, that rapture of the church. Therefore, we better keep looking up every day because that rapture actually could happen today.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung from the website prophecytoday.com, and then, of course, so much more. Dr. DeYoung, thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk today, and we look forward to talking to you again, God willing, in the future. We'll come back with more and include your phone calls. We'll be opening those up shortly.
Common Core is a new label for state-controlled public education standards in an ongoing attempt to dumb down the American educational system, a struggle that has raged for decades. To help parents and grandparents become knowledgeable on this issue comes the DVD, Escaping Common Core. In this presentation, you'll see how Common Core relates to previous initiatives, such as Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind, and Race to the Top. You'll learn about the influence of men like John Dewey and Horace Mann and their impact on education today. You'll see how Common Core brainwashes children and has a deliberate push toward globalism. And you'll learn how to set your children free from the clutches of Common Core. This DVD is over 60 minutes long and is a must-see presentation. Escaping Common Core is available for a donation of $18 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
We are back on Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. In for Jim Schneider today, I am Dalton Windsor. We will just move along and be shortly getting to your phone calls at 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Thank you to Cheryl for covering the phones for us here today. Well, in the past several weeks, again, shifting gears here, we've heard many talking about we have an emergency at our nation's border. We have there are threats at our nation's border. We've saw some video footage. We don't hear much, at least not from the mainstream media, of many of the reports that of the breach that's taking place at our nation's border. And here comes a headline today from yesterday: President Biden signing an executive order declaring a national emergency. But not about our border, but over the threat from Russia, as his administration has slapped new sanctions on Russia. Well, that may be something that we have to look at, but what about our border? What about so many other things? Well, from FoxNews.com, the United States Department of State saying it is expelling 10 officials from Russia's bilateral mission. And spokesman there saying, today we announced, this being Thursday, today we announced actions to hold the Russian government to account for the SolarWinds intrusion, reports of bounties on U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan, and attempts to interfere in the 2020 U.S. elections. That from Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. That from his statement. Many of you may remember that earlier this year, President Biden, when asked if he thought Russian President Vladimir Putin was a killer during that recent interview, Biden said yes. From CNSNews.com, Russia is working actively, quote, working actively to move away from the U.S. dollar and Western payment systems. Foreign Minister Lavrov said during this visit to Iran this week, in particular, gradual steps should be taken to move towards the de-dollarization of national economies and transition to payments in national or alternative currencies, as well as to stop using international payment systems controlled by the West, he said. He went on to say Russia has been working actively to that end, and they see great prospects for cooperation in that field with all interested international partners. When asked about Lavrov's comments, a Kremlin spokesperson told reporters that Russia needs to be prepared for new U.S. financial sanctions, including the possibility that the country could be disconnected from the Visa and MasterCard payment systems. One more for Russia, namely Russian President Vladimir Putin on Thursday, yesterday announcing that Russia would be closing off the Kerch Strait to foreign warships until fall, following President Joe Biden's announcement that he would stop two U.S. warships headed to the area in an effort to lessen tensions. Biden saying Thursday that now is the time to de-escalate after he had announced sanctions on Russia tied to the SolarWinds hack that the United States blames on Russia and on Russia's continued presence in the Crimea, which was seized from Ukraine in 2014. The Biden administration had planned to send two destroyers, the USS Roosevelt and the USS Donald Cook, to the Black Sea over Russia's continued military presence in Ukraine. But Moscow on Tuesday responded that the United States should keep out of the area, quote, for their own good. The Kerch Strait will be closed from next week until October. That from the Ukraine Foreign Ministry and their spokesman yesterday. How about we once again shift gears, and this time maybe find some good news, something positive. And all eyes have been on out west, if you will, all in California. Many listening today. In response to Liberty Counsel's request for an emergency injunction pending appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on behalf of Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministry, Governor Gavin Newsom wrote yesterday that Mandatory limits on attendance are no longer imposed on houses of worship. That means that after five reprimands from the United States Supreme Court, Governor Newsom decided to make the percentage capacity restrictions on houses of worship in all tiers voluntary. How many reprimands? It took five reprimands from the U.S. Supreme Court for Governor Newsom to get it. California's COVID-19 guidance has now been revised and reads, a quote, "In response to recent judicial rulings, effective immediately, location and capacity limits on places of worship are not mandatory but are strongly recommended. The linked guidance is in the process of being updated. All other restrictions and the guidance remain in place." End of quote, or end of the advisory guidance from COVID-19 guidance from the state of California. Now, this case spoken of here, this case is still pending at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, requesting that the district court ruling be reversed unless and until there is a judicial declaration that Governor Newsom has acted unconstitutionally. There is nothing keeping him from changing his mind again, whether in this crisis or any future crisis. And then last Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court granted 5-4 an emergency injunction pending appeal, thus finding that California Governor Gavin Newsom's restrictions on home Bible study and worship violate the First Amendment. So something positive for the church, not that the church ever stopped being the church, but so many motions and moves have been made to try to see that happen. And many folks have been standing up and, well, after five reprimands, Governor Newsom finally letting some folks think for themselves and worship the way they believe they are called to do. Going to open the phone lines at 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. One more quick story along these same lines. Canadian pastor James Coates of Grace Life Church held services last weekend. Normally, this would be an unremarkable fact, but given he was had recently been released from jail, only to see his church fenced off and shut down by authorities, it made this worship service all the more impactful. Pastor Coates greeted those in attendance at an undisclosed location by saying they can take our facility, but we'll just find another one. A few moments later, two gentlemen who were only identified in a video as Joe and John came forward to lead the congregation in song, and then one of the men began by saying, "Did you ever think you'd be part of the underground church?" Let me jump ahead here. Officers with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police came out in mass Sunday as protesters descended on Grace Life Church in Alberta, Canada, where police barricaded the worship center last week, barring congregants access to the church. In a statement issued to the media Sunday, the RCMP said it was on the scene in Edmonton to preserve peace and maintain public safety, claiming everyone has a right to peaceful freedom of expression. An observer tweeted, "A church in Edmonton, Canada, wouldn't obey politicians and lock its doors, so they jailed the pastor for 35 days. The church still wouldn't close. So police raided it, turned it into an armed garrison, and occupied it. And still, the Christians came." That from the end of the tweet there, that story released from CBN News. 1-800-733-9829. We will, as soon as I get the clear, are we ready to go in there? Cheryl says we are ready to go, and looks like we'll go to line three, where Joseph is standing by. Joseph, thank you for your call today for calling Crosstalk.
Yes, Dalton, I have two comments. My first comment is regarding the packing of the court and the, surprise, surprise, liberals opposing it. And I would like to bring to the audience that this is clearly a crystal clear example of a social engineering technique called controlled opposition. It's a well-known technique where they can control both sides of the argument. My second comment is on the Electoral College. Our founding fathers implanted that beautiful device within our government for a good reason. And not only should it not be eliminated, I believe it would be very helpful if it was expanded to the county level, where each county would have a set of electors. And the advantage of that is it would be highly accountable. I could know these people personally, and if it went shenanigans, I could hold them accountable. I think we should expand the Electoral College.
Joseph in Wisconsin, thank you for your phone call today. We'll go to take line one. Courtney in Miami, Florida, you're on the air.
God bless you. This is Courtney, and God bless all you saints out there. I just want to say, you see all that's happening with the shootings and everything, it just shows you when you the Lord wake you up in the morning to pray for your families and your friends and people going to work, coming from work. Pray for the police, that God watch out for them, for
yes.
the first responders, the doctors and lawyers. It's the end times, but the thing, it's good times because souls are being saved. And ask God to show you how to witness and who to witness to. God bless you all. Watch what your kids are learning in school and get into that word every day with them. And if you haven't got kids, you stay in the word yourself. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you for your call, 1-800-733-9829. Not only thank you for the call, thank you for your comments, 1-800-733-9829. Possibly you have a call of encouragement, such as Courtney there, or maybe you'd like to make a comment on Dr. DeYoung was speaking of on prophecy. Maybe you'd like to make a comment on this court packing issue as was just phoned in from Wisconsin, 1-800-733-9829. Maybe you'd like to make a comment on what has been happening out in California, some of these stories that we've been looking at. Your comments are welcome. That's what this show remains on the air about. 1-800-733-9829. As we wait for some more phone calls to come in, let's look at a story out of Iowa saying that it's not our problem. The governor there, the Iowa governor, rejecting a White House plea to house child migrants as the administration flies kids cross-country. The White House now flying unaccompanied minors across the country to emergency housing facilities as it struggles to keep up with the thousands of child migrants flooding across the United States southern border. And Iowa's Republican governor is now the first to refuse the Biden administration's pleas to provide temporary housing. Late last week, Republican Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds said that she has rejected a federal request to accept migrant children into the state, saying the need to find homes for them is the president's problem. It's not our problem, the governor said, Governor Reynolds, adding that the state does not have any temporary facilities to lend to the Department of Housing and Human Services. This is the president's problem. He's the one that has opened the border, and he needs to be responsible for this, and he needs to stop it. We're up against the break. We'll come back, make a couple of more comments from this latest article, and we see some more phone calls coming in as well. You're listening to Friday News Roundup and Comment on the VCY America Radio Network. Stand by.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Free speech is under assault today, and this has led CEO Mike Lindell to develop a new social media platform launching April 19th that is all about free speech, a platform for free speech. But does that mean he'll allow anyone to come on his social media and broadcast platform and say whatever they want? The answer is no. Why? Will he thus then be doing what he's been complaining about, suppressing free speech? No. Because there is a limit to speech. You can't scream fire in a building. You can be sued if you libel or slander someone. You can't make terroristic threats. And, well, obscenity is not part of free speech. But in America, we have a real blessing. As we defend a Christian worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, we're also defending a constitutional republic. Because William Blackstone, the leading scholar for the Founding Fathers, said, whatever the divine has ruled on, we don't rule against. Therefore, abortion, gay marriage, and the such, the divine has ruled. Therefore, we don't promote it.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. Again, just wrapping up on this story out of Iowa, where the governor of Iowa, Kim Reynolds, is saying that the migrant children proposed to be coming into their state, she has rejected the federal request, saying that it is the president's problem. He's the one that has opened the border. He needs to be responsible for this and needs to stop it. The federal government is believed to be holding as many as 15,500 child migrants, with hundreds more coming across the border every day. Last month alone, nearly 20,000 children were taken in by Customs and Border Protection, and that number is only expected to grow. There's one other headline here we won't spend much time on because we don't have the time, but that the president is also sending migrant children to the Los Angeles County Fairgrounds, a place which was used during World War II as an internment camp for Japanese Americans. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to line two. Jan in Wisconsin, thank you for calling Crosstalk.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to give a good word of encouragement to all of our listeners, knowing that God is unchanging, that when my going to be 92-year-old husband in 1 month obeyed God's original diet command in Genesis 1:29, which did not include meat and dairy products, he has not had a cold or flu in over half a century.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's
God bless you.
That's great, Jan.
I joined him in doing that 100% raw vegan 41 years ago, and I have not had a cold or flu in 41 years either.
Well, we'll give thanks to God for that. A great report. Thank you, Jan. Let's go to James. James, you're on the air. You're on Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and I want to thank you for all you do. You guys do an excellent job. And I just wanted to call in response to all the negative you hear about police department. We have an excellent police department in our city. They work real close with our pastor. We had a Nerf night at our church, and two officers and the chief of police come to the Nerf night and played Nerf guns with the teens and had an excellent time. And so there are some excellent police out there, yes, and the chief of police even brought his son, and it was just good to see that the police participating in activities with the youth. So that's all I wanted to say.
All right, James, yes, definitely positive news there, and we should pray for our first responders and our police. They should always be on our hearts and our prayer list. We appreciate those who truly are doing what they do to make a difference, to serve and make a positive impact in their communities wherever they are. Thank you to our law enforcement officials, all those first responders and fire and all of you. You are definitely appreciated. Maybe one or two more quick calls. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Let's go next to Dean in Reedsburg. Hello, Dean. You're on Crosstalk.
Hello. This is an excellent show. I'm praying that someday they can have Crosstalk on Sunday so they can choose two out of the five for the week instead of just on Saturday because it's so informative.
Okay.
And I was wondering about the wall. Are they going to start work on the wall? Because Biden stopped work on the wall, and that didn't make any sense for him to do that. And I was wondering what's going to happen with that wall.
Okay. Well, many are joining you in that thought. So thank you for your comment, Dean in Reedsburg. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Just a few minutes left. Here's something we have yet to touch on today. Surely you've heard about the big news headlines this week about the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine and the, quote, pause that has taken place. The U.S. is recommending this pause in administration of the single-dose Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine to investigate the many reports of potentially dangerous blood clots. There was a joint statement on Tuesday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Food and Drug Administration saying that they were investigating unusual clots in six women that occurred 6 to 13 days after vaccination. The clots occurred in veins that drain blood from the brain and occurred together with low platelets. All six cases were in women between the ages of 18 and 48. The report appears similar to a rare, unusual type of clotting disorder. Here is a report from LifeSite News. One woman died, and a second woman in Nebraska was hospitalized and in critical condition at last report. The CDC will convene a meeting of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices to further review the cases and assess their potential significance. The FDA will review that analysis, according to the joint statement. The agencies recommended people who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and develop severe headache, abdominal pain, leg pain, or shortness of breath within 3 weeks after vaccination should contact their health provider. Here's one out of from Newsmax. Dr. Walensky, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, saying on Monday that Michigan should, quote, close things down as COVID-19 cases are beginning to rise again there. Talking in Michigan, Walensky, speaking at a press briefing, called on Michigan officials to close things down after the state's average daily case count rose dramatically in the last several weeks. The answer, this says, according to Walensky, the answer to rising case numbers is to really close things down, to go back to our basics, to go back to where we were last spring, last summer, flatten the curve, to decrease contact with one another, to test to the extent that we have available, to contact trace. All of this from a conference call with Dr. Walensky, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Michigan. That from CNBC, and then, of course, shared by from Newsmax. Let's quickly go to Joe in Albuquerque. Joe, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say about these undocumented children going all across the country. I mean, it's almost like child trafficking right in front of our eyes. They're undocumented and unaccompanied. We don't know where they're going to end up. They're just being shipped everywhere. We have no idea where they're going to end up. We have no idea who they are. So that's just kind of, we need to pray for them as well, because who knows where they're ending up.
All right, Joe, we thank you for your comments from Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are simply out of time. Time does go so quickly here on a Friday News Roundup. We're leaving several stories behind, but we do thank you for calling in and for, of course, participating with your phone calls. And, well, we have to look up, friends. We have to trust that what we know to be true, our God is in control. And while there is a lot of bad news in our world around us, in our nation, or even just down the sidewalk, there is still good news. The Lord's Day is coming up. We'll trust you'll be in a good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. It's the Word of God, the Word of God alone that changes men and hearts eternally.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.